Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we start with Monday Night Raw, of course, the sad news yesterday on the passing of Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. This is a huge loss to the world of professional wrestling. You know, Paul Orndorff, I don't think ever really got the full credit he deserved for his magnificent heel run in the WWE. And yes, he was a face for a while too, but his heel run. They were in an era where there were so many good heels, and there was such a great abundance of these personalities that I don't think he ever quite got the credit he deserved for being right up there at the top. Right up there at the top. In any other era, he would have been the guy. Pretty much was even in that era. I mean, just by virtue of the fact that there were so many top guys, I think sometimes he gets a little bit underlooked. Paul Orndorff had a fantastic career, fantastic on the mic, fantastic in the ring. He played the face just as good as he played the heel, really, to be honest, but the heel work was just fantastic. And that's a huge loss. We send the condolences, of course, out to his family and friends. And that's a huge loss in the world of professional wrestling, obviously. Now let's get to a rumor that's going around. I'm trying to confirm, but so far no one's willing to confirm, that Daniel Bryan may indeed be heading to AEW. There's a very strong rumor going around online. I don't know where it first circulated from. I do know that the WWE, as I announced on Sunday's show, has informed marketers that Daniel Bryan's not with the company anymore. Now, I don't know whether these marketers were video game marketers or action figure marketers. I'm not sure. But they'll inform people of, well, there's no need to make this figure. There's no need to put this guy in the game because he's not going to be in there. He's not going to be in the Federation. And that's indeed what the WWE has done. So the WWE, it looks like, has stopped negotiation or at least came to a point where they are frozen with Daniel Bryan, and the rumor mill started circulating that indeed Daniel Bryan may be strongly considering AEW. If that move is made, that's a huge move, despite the fact that Daniel Bryan is not in the prime of his career right now, is really irrelevant. Daniel Bryan may be more than even Chris Jericho, and that's saying something. Daniel Bryan may be even more than Chris Jericho could supply that company with a ton of charisma and fan support and a great mind for the business and really, really good on the mic, a guy with a lot of creative ideas. That's not somebody the WWE wants to lose. I'm telling you right now. It's one thing to lose a Rusev. It's one thing to lose a Jack Swagger. You do not want to lose Daniel Bryan, and they may just have. They may just have. So that's a piece of news that we're going to keep our eye on, and we'll see if we can confirm anything. Right now, it's all just speculation. So let's jump to Raw, because Raw was, well, this is the last Raw in the Thunderdome, isn't it? And they started right out with a huge, huge match. Bobby Lashley, your champion, versus Xavier Woods. And I guess the WWE felt that if Xavier Woods went over, they could explain it away as Bobby Lashley becoming complacent as champion, having beaten everyone and partying it up and hanging out backstage and all that kind of fluff, and everything had made him soft. And then they could rehab him and say, I'm done with all this stuff, and it wouldn't hurt him too much. And at the same time, I think their idea was it also throws some doubt into the fans' minds. Well, if Xavier can beat him, Kofi can beat him. So maybe that match on Sunday isn't so cut and dry. I think it did the opposite. I think it did the opposite, especially for smart fans. And I'll tell you why it did the opposite. And in order to tell you, we're going to have to jump ahead a little, but so be it. I think it did the opposite because if you had just allowed Xavier Woods to win and Bobby Lashley to storm out looking defeated and not show up, it may have. It may have caused some doubt. But when you did this jumping ahead chapters, which the WWE often does, they can't wait to tell the story, so they tell it all in one night. When you jumped ahead the chapters to him coming out of the end saying, Kofi was right, I've become weak and complacent as champion thanks to all this ridiculousness, and this all ends tonight, and destroys the entire MVP lounge, and says he's going to murder Kofi Kingston, he's not losing, folks. See, that's the problem. If you had just left it where he leaves the arena and seems very down on himself, then perhaps we could have said, well, maybe the WWE is going to pull something where Kofi wins and Bobby blames MVP and we're going to get a fallout. Possible. Not likely, but possible. But as soon as Bobby Lashley yells at MVP and says, this is all your fault and my fault and by allowing this to happen, and from now on no more of this BS, destroys the whole entire set, and says he's going to murder Kofi Kingston, I said, okay, well, he's not losing. Now he's definitely not losing. He wasn't losing before, but he's definitely not now. He's definitely not now. Because what would the story be then? Bobby Lashley, the most focused he's ever been, saying, no more of this crap. I'm going to take everything seriously. I'm not going to become complacent. I'm going to focus all my energy and be the most focused I ever have been in my lifetime against Kofi. He's going to lose. That's going to be the story? I don't think so. You think they're going to really break up the MVP Bobby Lashley thing? To do what with Bobby Lashley when he's no good on the mic and they know it? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All of this was a quick little smoke and mirrors. The WWE figured if we let Xavier Woods win with a quick little roll-up, we can rehab Bobby Lashley in the same show by having Bobby Lashley come back down and say it was all of this partying and taking advantage of the perks of being champion that made me soft. Kofi was right. But I've corrected that. And for the next week until it's time to face Kofi, or I'm going to be focused on nothing but destroying Kofi. And then that rehabs Bobby Lashley's character from his loss. That's all that was. Then they said, well, if Xavier wins, fans will say, well, if Xavier won, Kofi could win. No. Because number one, he's not going to take two losses like that in a row. And number two, you rehabbed him before the show ended. Before the show ended, we saw the most fierce, focused Bobby Lashley we ever saw, and we're expected to believe that Kofi Kingston's going to beat that version of Bobby Lashley. No. So for the people who say, oh, this casts some doubt as to who's going to win on Sunday, no, it doesn't. It cements it even more. So I'm not sure that was the best real move to make, Todd, because I don't think it casts any doubt.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, or the MVP and the Bobby Lashley situation, I would not have destroyed the VIP lounge on MVP. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go walk out and just try to just get my focus back into place.
If they never showed Bobby Lashley again, if MVP was back there on the phone trying to get and have him say he's not answering his voicemails, I'm leaving messages. He won't answer. He won't pick up for me. Okay, then we might have some doubts. Something might be happening on Sunday. Something's up. But you told the story in the same show. You told the story in the same show. So, Mike, again, it's a case of them jumping ahead a couple chapters.
Right. And look, we've talked about this. You know, they've done this over and over and over again with different things, and they keep doing, I mean, and obviously they don't understand that the jumping ahead part doesn't work. They don't get it, right? I mean,
apparently not.
You know, so.
I mean, Mike, they had it. They had what they wanted. If you're going to say, well, look, everybody knows Kofi's not winning. How do we put some doubt in people's minds? That's how you put some doubt in people's minds. You let Xavier Woods get a quick roll-up. You have Bobby Lashley dumbfounded about it, storming out, not mad. You don't storm out mad, because then if you storm out mad, the idea is, oh, he's furious. He'll never let that happen again. No, you storm out dejected, and then you refuse to answer phone calls from your manager. Then you'd say, well, I don't know. Maybe something's in the works here. I don't know what it would be. Maybe it's something stupid, but the WWE might have something in mind. But no, Bobby Lashley's not suffering two losses in a row like this, and you rehabbed him at the end of the show and made him more vicious than ever, so of course he's not losing. So I just found it funny that people on the Internet were saying, oh, now there's some doubt about Sunday. No, you've done just exactly the opposite. Anyway, we had the four ladies who have qualified for Money in the Bank match. And I found this particularly amusing because before this match took place, we had Alexis Playground. And I have to tell you, I'm just going to be very honest about this. And, you know, people sometimes get mad at me and say, oh, you pick on people a little bit too much. Can someone please explain to me? Because I really don't know what in the hell you were doing with her character. I don't get it. But worse than that, can somebody please explain to me why you rehired Eva Marie? What is Eva Marie bringing to the table? She's not wrestling, and when she does, she can't. She's a terrible actress. I mean, terrible actress. Unconscionably bad. She's at the Funhouse literally saying, I am the star of this show. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. Doudrop is a better actress. At least she's coming off as this brainwashed little clone who just, you know, follows her around saying, I'll do whatever she wants, even if I know it's wrong. Because I'm gullible and weak. Weak-minded, that is. The star of this is obviously Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is a great actress, and but her character is just, I don't know what the hell's going on. One minute she can fight Randy Orton. The next minute she can't fight off Doudrop, apparently, or even Marie. I don't have to tell you. She's going through some kind of a transformation where they're trying to make her more logical, I guess, but ugh. And by the way, we should report that some ridiculously stupid fan apparently posted pictures of Alexa Bliss in NXT and then Alexa Bliss in WWE and was in some way trying to body shame her. I don't know whether he was trying to say she's lost a ton of weight and she's like getting real thin, or I don't know whether he was trying to say she was gaining weight. I don't know exactly what he was trying to say. I'm not exactly sure what his point was. I can tell you this. If you're body shaming or attempting to body shame Alexa Bliss, you got a hard road. That's a hard road. I'm sorry, my friend, but you picked the wrong target. You know, she got mad, said a bunch of things to him. She shouldn't have even addressed him because, to be honest with you, anybody who's that big of a chucklehead, you know, just trolling for an answer from, you know, he's probably delighted now. I got a reaction from Alexa Bliss. Didn't deserve it. But Alexa Bliss is in real trouble because I'm not sure what the hell her character is supposed to be. Anyway, we get the four-woman match. This is a good match. Let's say that at the outset. This is a good match. It's not a good match for Alexa Bliss because she did nothing. She gets distracted by Eva Marie. It appears that she's okay with Doudrop, who was nice to her. So apparently Alexa Bliss is a face, I guess. I don't know. And then when she goes after Eva Marie, Doudrop attacks Alexa Bliss, throws her over the barrier where she promptly disappears for the rest of the match. For the rest of the match. I don't know where that's going. What I do know is this. The WWE has destroyed Asuka, and that is an absolute sin, and it's unforgivable. Once again, you had Naomi in the ring, you had Nikki Ash in the ring, both of whom have suffered losses recently. Asuka's suffering back-to-back-to-back losses here. Asuka's losing to everybody. So now you've thrown away your quote-unquote dream match, which I would have thought would have been Becky Lynch versus Asuka when she comes back. You know, if you replay that whole thing with Becky Lynch saying there's nobody I would trust with this belt, there's nobody who deserves it more, there's nobody who represents this division more than you, and that's why I want to give you this belt. And then having Becky Lynch say, I left it with her, but it's always been mine. I mean, that's a match that people are going to say that I want to see this match. I don't want to see it now. She's been pinned by everybody. Asuka's on a one-woman losing streak. So what's the big deal? If Becky Lynch shouldn't have any trouble with her, if Nikki Ash can pin her, then I guess Alexa Bliss shouldn't be able to. I mean, then I guess Nikki Cross shouldn't be able to. Or actually, Becky Lynch shouldn't be able to have any problem with her, right? Asuka's been pinned by Doudrop. Asuka's been pinned now by Nikki Ash. Asuka's been pinned by Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. She's been pinned by everybody. So unfortunately, Mike, I think they pretty much ruined Asuka in any kind of rematch thing with Becky Lynch.
Right, and here's the deal. And I know we're not doing this until for another 2 weeks, but just a little primer. Asuka is on one of my lists with the ones you want to see go up and down, you know, just a timer. So yeah, they really destroyed. And you had the money match, right? You had it. It was Becky Lynch and Asuka, right? And you screwed it up. I mean, really, and I've said this before, Asuka should never have lost that championship. Lost it. They should never have made the decision to cycle Asuka down. I'm sorry. That should never have been the decision to make.
Mike, when they had that moment, it went viral. Everyone was talking about it. What a great real moment. Such a great real moment where Becky Lynch tearfully says, I'm going off to be a mother. Asuka's shocked to find out she's pregnant. She's delighted. She's the champion. They embrace. She says, you're the person who most represents this women's division, always have been. That's a moment. At that moment, the WWE should have said, note to self. When Becky Lynch returns, this is the money match. So Becky's not going to be here to help, so we got to make sure Asuka stays strong. That way, you have your branches on a tree. You know, we talk about branches on the tree, and sometimes people don't understand what they are, and they say, well, isn't it just going in different directions? Not necessarily. What I'm saying is one idea, but it can branch off to different conclusions. So in other words, it's not just having three people lined up for the champion. That's not a branch on a tree. A branch on a tree is to say it is indeed going to be Asuka, Becky Lynch. We can go many ways with it. We can have Becky Lynch come back and say, you know, she was just a placeholder. I told her at the time she's the next best person. I didn't say she's better than me. You could have Asuka be happy that Becky Lynch is back and say, I felt like I was a placeholder. I need to beat you to feel like I'm really the champion. You could have Asuka be bitter and turn on her. You could have Becky Lynch be bitter if you wanted to. There's many branches on the tree. The one I would have went for is both of them still being friends. Both of them still acknowledging they like each other, but saying, look, when I gave that belt to Asuka, I gave it to her because she's the best. I know she's the best. I'm not stupid. And I'm also not stupid when it comes to the fact that there are many people, even though I was the champion, who always said, yeah, you're the champion, but technically Asuka's better. And I guess I believe it too, to a certain degree, so I have to beat her. It's not like I just gave her the belt and I expect her to hand it back to me. I know I got to beat her. And I've been out of this ring a long time. And if I can beat Asuka, then I know I'm back and I'm the champ and I'm where I belong. And Asuka can say the same thing. I was handed the belt. This is my opportunity to earn it. And as much respect as I have for her, I'm the woman's champion, and I'm going to stay the woman's champion. You could have built a great storyline around this. A great storyline. Now nobody cares. I mean, you've thrown away your money match. I don't know. It makes my head hurt. Really does. So then AJ Styles comes out, and he starts his – here's the one thing AJ Styles is not good at, and there's not many things he's not good at, but the one thing AJ Styles is not too good at is comedic stuff. And he comes out and says, I want to apologize to the Viking Raiders. I shouldn't have called you barbarians. I should have called you Harry Warbless, whatever, whatever. We already know the situation. If Eric and Ivar is coming out here, and they're going to have individual matches. One's going to win and one's going to lose, and we already know that Almas is not going to lose, so of course AJ's going to lose. Of course he is. This is outrageous. AJ Styles is being treated like a guy who cannot win a wrestling match. This is a man who took Brock Lesnar to the limit and made us believe a short period of time ago he's going to beat Brock Lesnar. Remember that moment where it looked like, my God, he's getting manhandled by Brock Lesnar. And then all of a sudden, Lesnar, red-faced, puffy, looking tired, sees AJ Styles pop back up, and you realize, my God, Styles has been bluffing a lot of this. He's still fresh, and Lesnar's out of gas. And we thought, Jesus, he's going to beat him. He's went from that to losing to Ivar. He went from that to losing to Ivar. All to promote Omos, who, okay, he can't wrestle. I've said on the show many times, wrestling isn't the ultimate problem. I mean, if you have great charisma or whatever, who cares if you can wrestle, right? If you can draw a crowd. Omos can't draw a crowd. He has no charisma. He doesn't say anything. He has a zero charisma. And as we've seen now, after watching this match, he can't wrestle either. So now you've got a big guy who has a zero charisma and cannot wrestle, overshadowing a guy with a tremendous amount of charisma who can really, 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 really wrestle. So that becomes self-deprecating to AJ Styles that he has to keep being the guy who's saved by this guy. And at some point, you're hurting yourself. The WWE's hurting themselves because Omos is going nowhere. You can't rely upon him to draw a crowd or use a microphone or sell a fight. What does he do? He just goes, rah. It's not going to work. He's not good enough in the ring to pull off, you know, a decent match. So that's not going to work. So you know what he's going to be. He's always just going to be that giant guy who he's going to win for a while, and then he's going to lose by count out. He's going to lose by disqualification. Finally, somebody's going to pin him, and the whole thing's over. And you're wasting AJ Styles to do this? That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Now, had I been booking for the WWE, I would have had AJ Styles win by cheating. Somehow, whether it's holding the ropes or doing something, pinning Ibar, and then have Eric do so well against Almost that AJ Styles has to cheat and get Almost disqualified. Because then you could have Almost looking at AJ Styles like, "What? Well, this was my debut match and I lost. Who needed your help?" And at least you'd say, "Well, I don't know if all is right between them two guys." He's a little bit upset at AJ Styles, and maybe rightfully so. Maybe Styles just didn't want him overshadowing him, and Almost isn't too happy about it. Are these guys going to coexist well? I mean, the Viking Raiders are going to coexist well, so now what? That would have been a hell of a lot better. Instead, we just get the same typical thing. We get it. AJ Styles is Enzo. Almost is Big Cass. Has to make that tag. Lay on the outside of the ring like you're crippled while the big guy does all the work. I get it, but that's, I mean, I'm sorry, Todd. I think that AJ Styles deserves far better than this.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this thing with AJ Styles and Almost, it just reminds me of those two dogs on Looney Tunes, Chester and the big dog and the little dog. I forgot what their names were, technically.
Yeah. Chester and Spike. Yeah, well, that's exactly, and Chester and Spike was exactly what Enzo and Cass was, Mike.
Think about it this way. Almost, we used to make fun of how bad, you know, the Great Khali was in the ring, but the Great Khali had a ton of charisma, all right?
Yeah.
And he still has a ton of charisma, but he did clear one good in the ring. But he had the other part of it. So this guy Almost is not the great, not even the Great Khali, you know.
Oh, he's not. No, he's not. And what happened to the Great Khali? He had a short run, but yeah, this is not going to work. It's not going to. You can see it's not going to, and I know why they picked AJ Styles. They said the quiet part out loud last night when they said, look, if you hang around AJ Styles long enough, you're going to pick up all kinds of things about the business. And of course you are. Of course you are. And that's exactly why they got Almost hanging around. Anyway, we go to Sheamus, who is backstage arguing that his nose is still broke. He shouldn't have to in any way, shape, or form compete or defend his title. I'm sort of against that because the thing was, Sheamus, you had portrayed as a fighting champion. He was a guy who came out and said, I'm not giving you a title shot, but I'm giving you an opportunity to earn one. Open challenge. Anybody wants to come out here, and if they do win, then I'll give them a title shot. Now, all of a sudden, the very guy who broke his nose, the very guy he should want revenge against, he's saying, I don't want to defend my belt. I shouldn't have to defend my title. I don't like that. What I do like, however, is that he attacked him before the match. Beat the hell out of him. And, oh, who should be lurking around except Damian Priest? I mean, could you make it any more obvious what's going to happen? The minute I saw Damian Priest hanging around, I said, oh, geez, we know where this is going. We know precisely where this is going. And I thought, well, you know, maybe you could do something with this. Carrillo didn't do that bad of a job on the mic, so to speak, when they were telling him, look, we're going to call the match off. And he's like, no. You're not calling the match off because I don't know when I'll get another opportunity. That was not too bad. But I thought what they were going to do is they were going to pull some kind of thing where they were going to say, nope, sorry. We can't let you go out in this condition. We're just going to have to call an audible here. And, oh, here's Damian Priest. You go out and fight him for the belt. And then I thought maybe Carrillo's going to come out and take out Priest. And say, you're like a vulture waiting backstage. You were happy I got attacked. And we were going to see maybe a nice little feud there develop between Damian Priest and Humberto Carrillo, which I would have thought would have been pretty good. And okay. And maybe the winner goes after Sheamus. Instead, it just becomes Carrillo stumbles down to the ring, eats a brogue kick, instantaneously eats a brogue kick. 1, 2, 3. That's it. And when Sheamus decides he's going to break his nose, Damian Priest comes down and makes the save. Once again, very sloppy, very lazy writing. We have not seen Damian Priest hanging around Humberto Carrillo till last night. Suddenly they're friends. You could have taken that opportunity to show us a little bit, 3 or 4 minutes, of Damian Priest versus Sheamus, with Sheamus saying, well, I shouldn't have to defend my belt against him. I was all set for Carrillo. Oh, well, you're the guy who beat up Carrillo, aren't you? So now you're going to have to accept a substitute. But having Carrillo come down and cost Priest his chance, where Damian Priest could have said, look, I was just trying to do what I was told here. I'm the guy who they picked. It's not my fault. And the Carrillo saying, baloney, it's not your fault. You tried to pick my bones after Sheamus beat me up backstage. You're a back jumper. You're a guy who's going to jump on somebody else's opportunity. I don't respect that. And you could have had a match or a little bit of a program with them saying the winner's going to go on to face Sheamus. You had Sheamus eating it up. You know, there was a lot you could have done. A lot you could have done. Unfortunately, you didn't do any of it. So I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a waste of time, except that now we know the preliminary match for Sunday's, the pre-show match for Sunday is now Damian Priest versus Sheamus, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Damian Priest and Humberto Carrillo and Sheamus, this three-way thing last night. Like you said, I would have had the book different way, like you said, have a... Humberto Carrillo attacked Damian Priest for taking his spot, about to take his spot.
Maybe you could have ended up even with a three-way dance. It would have been fun. There's a lot of things you could have done with that instead of just making it this, but whatever. We then, by the way, I should have said, I've skipped the ridiculousness with Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre kind of on purpose because, it's a fake sword I brought down to the ring. Well, that's shocking, since you've used it 2 or 3 times to break tables and everything else. It's a fake sword, but your motorcycle's not fake, and I'm going to tear it apart with my bare hands as if any human being could tear the gas tank off a motorcycle with their bare hands. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you're going with this. Jinder Mahal's not over. It doesn't appear he's not being treated like he could beat Drew McIntyre. I don't know where you're going with this. Probably Jinder Mahal shows up at Money in the Bank to cost Drew McIntyre. I don't know. I really don't know. Now, some people have been asking me where Randy Orton is. Randy Orton was scheduled to take off time right after the Fiend situation, and for some reason they didn't give him that time. And now, with the WWE going back on the road and everything, I think maybe Randy Orton said, well, I'm going to take at least 3 or 4 weeks now. He'll probably show up at Money in the Bank, but he's probably just taking that time off. I've heard nothing about injury. I've heard nothing about maybe he's sick or he's not well or anything else, or he's being punished for anything. I've heard nothing. So my thought is he requested time off before or just after the Fiend match. He wanted the time off. He didn't get it. I think maybe they're giving it to him before they hit the road. That would make sense to me. So that's what I'm assuming. In the meantime, you know, Riddle's going back to being annoying. The only person that makes him not annoying, unfortunately, seems to be Randy Orton. When he's talking with anybody else, he's really annoying, especially Ricochet, because Ricochet himself is annoying. Anyway, we do get Ricochet versus Morrison for the third time, which is okay. Which is okay because we know these guys are going to put on a good match. This is Lucha Underground 101 here, folks. These guys put on some, you know, 5-star matches over there. And I'm maybe saying it'll be 5-star here, but they're going to put on good matches. They know each other. They know each other's style. They complement each other's style well. They did it again. There's nothing wrong with these matches. That's the way you want to use your undercard. You want to use your undercard in a way that you say, okay, well, maybe this match isn't for a belt or a top contendership or anything else. But it's going to be a really good, solid match, and I'm not 100% sure who's going to win because either guy could potentially win. That's the way I felt last night. I didn't automatically think Ricochet was going to win because I thought, well, I don't know, The Miz is at ringside. You got the Money in the Bank match coming up. It's possible Morrison steals this match. It's very possible Morrison steals this match. If he won this match, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm so shocked. He didn't, and I'm not shocked that Ricochet won either. But the good news was I wasn't 100% sure who was going to win. I really wasn't, and there were some nice spots in this match. This is the way you use your undercard. If you can pull matches out, and this is what I've been telling people all along. You've got guys like Ricochet who can't get arrested when it comes to title matches or top contender type things. He's not doing anything. And Morrison's not doing anything either. But you put these guys in the ring, and they're as good as anybody. These guys are very capable of putting on main event quality matches. Of course they are. And that's what I've been trying to get through to everybody for the last I don't know how long. This roster, there's nothing wrong with this roster. This roster is a brilliant roster. I'll match this roster, Raw's roster, up against anybody's roster in all of professional wrestling. It's not the workers that make it boring. It's the booking and the storylines. So I thought this was an especially good match, Mike.
I thought so, too. And it's not just the booking and storyline. It's the handcuffing of the athlete. I mean,
right.
Yeah, these two guys could put on a five-star match, and they could put on the same type of matches here in the WWE if they were allowed to. You know?
Yeah. No, that's absolutely correct, of course. These guys, everyone on this roster, with almost without exception. I mean, probably almost can't. But most of these people can put on really high-quality matches if they're allowed to. Right now, they're not being allowed to for the most part. And even in a match like this where falls count anywhere and there's no countouts and no disqualifications and all that, this still didn't rise to the level of their Lucha Underground match where they were totally on handcuffed and they said, just do what you want. But there were some nice spots. That's because these guys trust each other. And they know each other really well. And The Miz being down there in the wheelchair. See, here's the thing, too. I get mad at fans who say, ah, The Miz, I don't like The Miz. He's not a great wrestler, and he's soft, and this, that, and the other thing. I got news. There's a lot of wrestlers who get hurt and say, I'll just take 6 months. I'll go sit in my easy chair and watch TV and enjoy my time with my family. The Miz is there every week in his wheelchair while he's recovering from his injury. He's there. I mean, what more can you ask for? That's not my definition of soft. So, I mean, kudos to him, I think. I think he's earned everybody's respect. If you don't respect The Miz as a great professional wrestler by this time, it's just your own prejudice, because he is. He absolutely is. Anyway, we then, for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason, we get Rhea Ripley versus Natalya. Now, Natalya says the reason is because she has this long-term plan. She's going to be the women's champion plus the women's tag team champion. Well, we know that's not going to happen. However, there was some interest in this only because we know Charlotte Flair's lurking somewhere, and I had a thought that, well, maybe she'll jump Rhea Ripley and Rhea Ripley will lose. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of. Well, it didn't exactly happen the way that went down, but I'll tell you this. I've gotten on Natty, too. Natty doesn't have a ton of charisma. And Natty's one of those people who's been around a long, long time, and fans have gotten used to her, and they say, oh, well, It's Natty. There's only so much that's going to happen with Natty. But I will tell you this. Natty drug a good match out of Rhea Ripley, and so far she's the only person to have done it. And that includes Charlotte Flair. That includes Asuka. Rhea Ripley's matches have been snorefests for the most part. And I still say she is absolutely awful on the mic. I mean, she's so bad on the mic that she almost makes Eva Marie look passable. I don't know what has happened to Rhea Ripley. Maybe she's not sure who her character is, or I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. But Mike, it's been, it's been a hard road for Rhea Ripley.
Right. And think about it this way. You may not like, you may not think that she has a ton of charisma, but she did her job last night with Natty. Her job was to drag a match, to drag a good match out of Rhea Ripley. Yeah, we knew Charlotte Flair was in the background someplace. And exactly what I thought would happen, and with the figure four and hanging off the edge and all that, off the edge of the ring and all that stuff. And at least we get at least she sold that injury, you know, the possible knee injury or whatever possible knee problem she might have, you know, Rhea Ripley. But you're right. I mean, I love Natty to death, and we know what she does in the background, right? She's the one that helps train these athletes. She knows what they can do, you know. Now, granted, Rhea Ripley's from Australia or wherever she's from. She didn't train under Natty, but Charlotte did, and a lot of the other American athletes did. I mean, you know, so she did her job. She earned Natty earned her money last night. She really did.
Well, not only that, but I guess my point is now we know why they keep Natty around. You have Charlotte Flair, who I will openly say, I know fans are getting tired of her. She's still one of the greatest athletes in the WWE. I mean, she just is. And Asuka is arguably, again, even last night in a loss, Asuka showed she's the best wrestler in the women's division on Monday Night Raw. Easily. Watch that match and tell me who the best wrestler in that match was. Asuka, by far. They couldn't drag a good match out of her. They couldn't do it. That's why I was getting really worried for Rhea Ripley, because I said, she's not in there against jabrons. She's in there against the very, very best, and she's not coming up with a good match. Last night, Natty pulled a good match out of her, which means that Natty understands how to do that. Now, whether Natty went back and watched some tapes and said, here's what I got to do to get a good match out of Rhea, or here's what we have to do to make her look good or make her look this way, I don't know. But Rhea Ripley looked like a totally different person last night than the person I've seen for the last couple of months. And that's Natty's doing, because nothing else has changed. So that, now we know. Now we know why they keep Natty around. Now, can she do the same with Charlotte Flair? I don't know. We'll find out on Sunday, won't we? But she doesn't have any excuses. Because if she can do it with Natty, then she should be able to do it with any other top star. And arguably, Charlotte Flair is the top star, if not Asuka. I could understand maybe Asuka. Maybe there's a communications thing where Asuka really can't call things or whatever. I don't know. All I know is this was the best match Rhea Ripley's put on in the WWE thus far. And the only different factor is who she wrestled, and it's Natty. So I'm giving Natty the credit for this. Then came that moment where any good you did in the beginning of this show was washed away. You might have had the fans thinking, I wonder if something's up. I wonder if there's going to be some dissension in the ranks of MVP and Bobby Lashley. Maybe Lashley's dejected. Maybe they're going to have the announcers play up Bobby Lashley has a lot of the steam taken out of his sails, and he's ripe for the picking for Kofi Kingston. That would have been fine. Instead, you have to have Bobby Lashley come back, destroy the entire MVP lounge, yell at MVP, tell him Kofi was right, we're wasting too much time with this bullshit, partying and having all of these girls around and taking vacation, and that ends. That's over. I'm starting fresh, and I'm going to be a focused Bobby Lashley, and Kofi Kingston's going to be my first victim back to let everybody know that this complacent Bobby Lashley is over, and this new Bobby Lashley, focused Bobby Lashley, is the wave of the future. Well, then Kofi is the first victim, you're right. Then you've just cemented it. You've just cemented it. The only other thing you could do is have him lose and have MVP jump to manage Kofi, but and I don't see how that would work. Because if Kofi wins, why would he need MVP for a manager? He's already beat the guy that MVP managed, so that's not going to work. And then they wouldn't do that anyway, because that leaves Bobby Lashley with nowhere to go. He can't cut it on his own. Sorry, he can't. So what you did was you tipped your hat. You showed how the trick was done. At least you could have kept us guessing for a week. I wonder if there's an angle with Bobby Lashley. I wonder if there's going to be something going on. This will be interesting to see what happens on Sunday, because the last time we saw Bobby Lashley, he's refusing phone calls from MVP. He's walked out dejected. He's not looking like that same invincible Bobby Lashley. WWE must be planning to pull something. At least we'd have that on our mind. Well, now we know. No, that we weren't planning to pull anything. We just want to make a more focused Bobby Lashley because we got bigger things for him in the future, so Kofi's going to eat one. Now, maybe Kofi eating one is going to lead to Xavier Woods saying, I'm the better of the two of us. I don't know. Maybe that's going to be the ultimate plan. But if there's no ultimate plan, if you did this just to do it, then that was a bad mistake. It was a bad mistake. Give me something. Give me the reason we did this, Marcus, is because right after he destroys Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods isn't going to be as forgiving as you would think he's going to be. He's going to keep reminding Kofi, well, I don't know what to say. I beat him. You know, and have Kofi getting madder and madder saying, yeah, well, you beat him at his lowest point. And all you really did was aggravate him enough so that he destroyed me. So that didn't work out too well for me, did it? If you're going to give me that, all right, and I understand why you did this Monday night. If you're going to give me a breakup of MVP and Lashley, as much as I disagree with it, all right, then I know why you did it Monday night. If you're not going to give me any of those things, if it's just going to be Kofi gets destroyed and business as usual and the New Day goes on to be their merry, happy selves, I don't know why you did it then. Because if the only reason is to place doubt in the minds of fans about Sunday, you already erased those doubts when he came back at the end of the show. So I thought it was a weird ending, Mike. I don't know where they're going with that.
I don't know where they're going with that either. And look, frankly, I'd like to see them do the whole split up, you know, where we get, and I guarantee you, you can have a blood feud between these two guys, and there would be great matches, and then we know where this is going. We would know where that was going because they could put Big E on Raw, and all of a sudden, here comes the New Day again.
That's what I would do. That's precisely what I would do. It sounds reasonable to me. I mean, they don't have to hate each other. You don't have to say, oh, he attacked him in the parking lot, and he tried to break his arm. You don't have to do that. You could just have him feud. You could just have Xavier Woods say, I'm sick of being the third member of the New Day. I'm the guy who beat Bobby Lashley. I'm not the third member of anything. You didn't beat Bobby Lashley. You got creamed. Oh, big deal. You were the champion. You know, you hit lightning in a bottle. And have Kofi say, well, it sounds like you just need to work crap out. I mean, if you think that you're better than everybody, then let's go. And they could have this animosity without being hating each other. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have them hanging around each other cracking jokes, but you don't have to have them attacking each other from behind either. Just have them be separated. There's a rift. Because Xavier has this thing now that I proved myself to not be the third member. I proved I'm better, you know, than some, or Kofi, and, you know, I think I'm being disrespected or had been disrespected, and Kofi saying that was all in your mind. Nobody ever disrespected you. Yeah, you get a good series of matches out of them. Big E comes along, reunites them. Everything's fine. And you've reinvented the New Day. Sounds good to me. See, you don't want to have them have a blood feud because then maybe people won't forgive. You know, you don't want to see Xavier Woods try to hit Kofi with a car or Kofi try to end Xavier Woods' career. You don't want that. You want that fighting like brothers fight, a rift that can eventually come back together. That works for me. So as far as what this whole show was, well, it is a go-home show, so let's talk about it a little bit. Am I more anxious to see Money in the Bank now? Not really. I already know that Morrison and Ricochet are going to probably steal the show with the latter. I get that. I knew that from the days that they basically qualified to be in it. Am I thrilled about the Viking Raiders match? No, the Viking Raiders. If the Viking Raiders win, the only reason the Viking Raiders won is because they want AJ to go out on his own. They figured you've done enough with Almost, and we need you as a solo guy. Could that happen? Yeah, it could. It could, and then let Almost go out on his own, but I think after what they saw last night, they probably figure Almost isn't ready to go out on his own yet, and they're right, by the way. Am I anxious about the women's Money in the Bank match? No. Really not. I mean, Asuka has been downplayed so much, there's no point in having her pull it down. I doubt they're going to give it to Nikki Cross, but maybe they will. Alexa Bliss, I don't know why she just can't make it fall down and land right in her hands, right? Why can't she do that? So I'm not sure where that whole thing's going. So did they really accomplish me wanting to watch this pay-per-view more? No. So as a go-home show, I think it failed. As a standalone, there were some good things. Morrison's match with Ricochet was very good, very entertaining. Doesn't make me think either one of these characters are going to be treated as potential champions or anything, but it was still a good, solid match. I have a little more hope for Rhea Ripley because at least it's been proven that she can have a good match pulled out of her if it's a veteran who really tries hard, apparently. The Lashley thing, you know, I still say he's going to destroy Kofi Kingston. This is going to be Lashley's retribution thing where it's going to be like we've never seen anybody more focused and more deadly because, you know, Brock Lesnar's around the corner. And it would appear to me that Brock Lesnar might be coming back if he's coming back the way he looks now. Maybe he's going to be coming back as a face. He's grown his hair out. I don't know if anybody's seen him recently, but he's grown his hair out. He's wearing it back in like a ponytail. It's a short ponytail, but he's grown his hair out. He's got a beard. He's looking a little bit different. And I'm saying to myself, sounds to me like he might be coming back face, which kind of negates Paul managing him. Now, maybe he's going to go against Roman. Maybe he's going to go that direction, but they wanted Lashley and Lesnar for a long time, so I don't know which direction they're going to go on that. It'll be very, very interesting to see what they do Friday. Because if anyone is going to sell this pay-per-view, it will be SmackDown on Friday. Raw failed to do it as far as I'm concerned. And when Raw does something as blatant as have Drew McIntyre destroy Jinder Mahal's motorcycle with no real retaliation, it almost guarantees you that Jinder Mahal is going to show up at Money in the Bank and cost Drew McIntyre his chance of winning. So I no longer think Drew McIntyre, by the way, is winning. He was my pick right up until last night. Last night, with no retaliation from Jinder Mahal, my thought is Jinder Mahal's costing him that. Which means my new choice is looking like Seth Rollins, which I don't understand. I don't understand it because he's a bad guy, and I don't understand why you want a heel having a briefcase against a heel. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll give it to Kevin Owens, but if they do, that's a huge, giant, colossal mistake because Kevin Owens has not been proven in any way, shape, or form to be worthy of being the WWE champion. And he's not going to be. He's not going to be the guy that beats Roman Reigns. He's certainly not going to be the guy that beats Bobby Lashley. The only interesting thing they did do last night, as goofy as it sounds, is Matt Riddle actually said, if I win, I'm going to cash it in on the tag team champions, me and Orton, as a team. That's never been done. Ricochet said, I don't even know if he can do it. How could you do it? You'd have to have, or you can't have it to be a surprise because Randy's going to have to be there. This would be very, very interesting if this happened for that reason alone, is that would show that Matt Riddle is so selfless that he negates his own opportunity to be a solo champion to include Randy Orton because he realizes he screwed up Randy Orton's chances at Money in the Bank. That would be a vindication of, I know I screwed up, but I'm going to make us the tag team champions. And then if in any way, shape, or form Randy Orton turns against him, certainly Riddle would clearly be the face because you would say, well, I mean, what more can the man do to make it up to Orton? So that was the only interesting thing I saw last night, Mike.
That is the interesting thing. And think about it. I mean, do they at this point, do they really want Randy Orton as a face? I mean, think about it. He's been doing a good job as a heel, right?
Yep.
And they just recently flipped, pseudo-flipped Riddle, right? I mean, they put him with Orton, and during some of his matches, he kind of did all of this stuff with his facial expressions, and he's been using Orton's moves and all this stuff. So they've just recently flipped him. So are they going to want to – basically, what we're talking about here, Marcus, is flipping both of them, you know?
Yeah, but you can do it temporarily. In other words, you could have Orton be a face, help Riddle win the tag team champions, obviously, championship, by cashing in his briefcase, winning, becoming the tag team champions, and then when they lose, turning on them and saying, it's your fault we lost. That would certainly be Randy Orton being a heel because you'd say, well, what do you mean it's his fault he lost? You wouldn't even have the opportunity if Riddle hadn't have been gracious enough to give up his opportunity at a solo title to champions. So in that way, Mike, you could definitely underline Matt Riddle as the nice guy and Randy Orton as the ungrateful bastard in time.
Right. And I think that's the way they should go with this thing. I think they should pull the trigger on having Riddle take down that briefcase and saying exactly what you just said, pull that trigger, let it go through, because that's an interesting storyline. And look, we all the time we talk about our grading for these go home shows, you know, and we generally say if this was your run of the mill Raw, you know, we'd give it maybe a C+ or whatever that is. I'd give it a C+, but this is a go home show, so I can't give it that. I gotta give it a D+. You know.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. It didn't make me all that interested in the pay per view. Only Riddle dropping that little hint and me saying, "Wow." The idea you could come up behind that would make a lot of sense. No one's ever cashed in the tag team on the tag team champions, and it does say any champion. It doesn't necessarily say any solo champion. That would be very interesting. It would be WWE history. It would be a great way to make Riddle a solid face and Randy Orton eventually a solid heel. That I liked. A couple of the matches I liked. I liked Rhea Ripley and Natty, although, again, it didn't matter to me who won. And I liked Ricochet and Morrison, although, again, it didn't really matter to me who won. The WWE's got to do a better job of making it matter who wins and making it, you know, making us really want to see one person win or not. To be honest, Xavier Woods winning, you know, Kofi's going crazy. I'm like, okay, they're going that direction. They're going in the direction of trying to make people think that Kofi can win. I get it. Instead of me jumping out of my seat and saying he won, that's because you haven't promoted Xavier Woods as being somebody who I really want to see win against Bobby Lashley. That's your fault, WWE. So I'm going to be a little kinder. I'm going to give it a C minus. But again, as a go home show, Todd, not a very good one.
Oh, well, like you said, I'm going to go with the same grade with you, the C minus. Like, I'm going to give it a kind grade as well. And it was not a great show, but it was an okay show.
I think they tipped their hat too much about what's going to happen on the pay-per-view with a couple of the matches. And I really don't like the idea that Alexa Bliss is in this women's match because, again, if she can cause ceiling lights to fall, if she can cause ladders and things backstage to tip over by just apparently waving her hand, how come she can't cause the Money in the Bank briefcase to fall down into her grasp? Wouldn't that be logical? I don't want to see Alexa Bliss trying to climb the ladder and, oh, I almost got there and somebody pushed me off. Why? I don't understand why you'd even be doing that if you have all these special powers. It was a mistake to begin with to put Alexa Bliss in this. If you wanted to have her have a hand on who might win it, that could be interesting. If she stayed out of it, but she had a favorite, maybe. Or she had somebody she really didn't like and made sure they didn't want to win, maybe. Her in it, mistake. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening, and we will see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.